Thank you, Brother Jeff. You have your Bibles this morning. Find, if you would, please, the seventh chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7 will be our text today. If you have a piece of paper and you want to put something in Matthew chapter 22, that would be good as well. Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 22. I believe it to be fitting our message for the day on a Memorial Day. I pray that God will enable me to make the application as He has laid it on my heart. I've been waiting to preach this message for some time. Been excited for us to get to the 12th verse of the 7th chapter of this book. As I have been excited to preach to you on the subject and have titled the message, The Golden Rule. The Golden Rule. I'm sure you have heard that phrase before, the golden rule. Many of you know what the golden rule to be or what it is to be. I have heard all kinds of definitions of the golden rule. He who has the gold rules. Do unto others before they do unto you. A guy told me one time, do unto others and then split. Pastor, the golden rule. Oh, yeah. That's that thing where we're supposed to be nice to people. You ever had somebody tell you, I live by the golden rule? I hear that a lot. And I'm excited today to preach to you what I believe to be the biblical foundation for the golden rule. I don't do this very often, but I would like to do this. I want to give you my outline right at the beginning. So if you'd like to write it down, I'll give you the 3 points. This does not excuse you to go home. This just helps you get ahead. Number one, a statement praised. A statement praised. Number two, a statement polluted. A statement polluted. Number three, a statement practiced. A statement praised. A statement polluted. And a statement practiced. You find it mentioned in verse number 12 of chapter 7. The Bible says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. You find this same verse mentioned in Luke chapter 6, verse 31. Both Matthew and Luke, in recounting the Sermon on the Mount, both of them put the golden rule in the sermon. Jesus preached it, and they are printing it. This message was preached almost 2,000 years ago, somewhere around that time. And yet, today, this one statement is probably the most universally praised statement that Jesus ever made. You do not have to be a Christian to know about the golden rule. You don't even have to be a Christian to allow the golden rule influence in your life. To this day, if you live by or respect the golden rule, you will be respected. It's not laughed upon. It's not mocked upon. It holds a measure in society of a higher standard of position and activity than most. And yet, being a Bible person and being a Christian and having spiritual understanding, we know that anything that is universally praised by both Christian and non-Christian has probably been polluted from the original giving as it was in the Word of God. Not very many statements does the world praise. For example, you do not hear the world praising, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You do not hear the world praising, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You do not hear the world praising, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. You do not hear the world praising that one day there will be an eternal place called hell. You do not hear the world praising the authority of Jesus Christ. You see, the world doesn't praise that which offends them. In order for the world to praise a biblical context, most of the time it has to be polluted. And I think that is what has happened with the golden rule. Because of its universal praising, we must look at how it has been polluted throughout the centuries. I don't know if you agree with this, but I hope you would by the saying of amen. I believe every word in this book is the inspired word of God. Amen. It is infallible and inerrant. There's no error in the Bible. There's no contradiction in the Bible. Every word is given by God and of God and is God-breathed. You must remember at the beginning of this message that the Sermon on the Mount was given for two purposes. It was given, number one, to show a need for righteousness apart from ourselves. Look, if you would, at chapter number 5, and look, if you would, at verse number 20. Jesus, preaching and teaching here, says, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." What does that mean? That means that the Pharisee was standing there as the standard of righteousness. And Jesus, the whole time he's instructing the citizen of the kingdom of God, he is exposing the citizen of the kingdom of the world. And Jesus takes this religious righteous example as fulfillment and says, if you're not more righteous than they are, you will not get into heaven. Now, by the way, their righteousness wouldn't get them there either, but that is what they thought. So as Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount, he is teaching us that there's not enough righteousness in and of ourselves to merit salvation. We must have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Second thing he is teaching is the characteristics of that righteousness. Once I have been born again, once the Spirit of God has indwelt me and the life of Christ now lives in me, that life is worked out in my doings. So the Sermon on the Mount teaches me that I cannot be righteous apart from Christ, and I cannot live the Christian life without His life. And so the characteristic of my life now becomes His life, because when I got saved, Christ came and dwelt in me by the Spirit of God. So he is given to show a need for righteousness and the characteristics of that righteousness. In chapter 7, verse number 12, Jesus is summing up a point. If every word is inspired, which it is, then we must concentrate on every word. And the first word is the word therefore. Now, if you want to really grow and be encouraged in your Bible reading and study time, there are some words you need to understand. Therefore and wherefore is a very important word to you. Anytime you see in the Bible, therefore or wherefore, you're supposed to see what it is therefore and what it is the wherefore. How do I do that, Pastor? It's a summation word that demands that you know the previous verse context so you can have the concluding statement. In verse number 12, Jesus is concluding a thought that was in verses 1 to 11. In verses 1 to 11, he was teaching us how to treat others. He was teaching us not to be exalted in ourselves, not to have this spirit of superiority, not to have this big beam in our eye and judge those that have a little mote in their eye. He wasn't saying that we weren't to judge. We are to judge. He's not saying that we're not to be concerned with our brother. We are. He's not saying we shouldn't call sin, sin, and righteousness, righteousness. He's just saying, don't be hypocritical in the way that you treat people. Don't think that you're something in of yourselves, because apart from the grace of God, we are nothing. And so Jesus is teaching the citizen of the kingdom of God how to respond to others. And he said, you need to pray for wisdom. Ask, seek, knock. Understand that the Father is good and gives good gifts. And then he makes the summation point and he says, now, when you treat others, by the way, in verse number 12, it says men. It doesn't say saved men. It means all men. As a child of the kingdom of God, the way that I am to treat all men is that I am to do unto them as I would have them do unto me. This is your guiding principle. Submission of self and the exaltation of others. It's the golden rule. Chapter 22 is important at this time. I need you to flip there. I'm laying a foundation. Please think with me. You didn't come here to sleep. You didn't come here to be bored. You didn't come here to put your time in. You paid good money for that seat. Enjoy it. Jesus has a biblical foundation for what he is preaching. Any message that's ever preached better have a biblical foundation. Come to chapter 22 of Matthew. Look at verse 36. Jesus is asked a question. Master, which is the great commandment in the law being the Old Testament, the law being the Ten Commandments? Jesus saying unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. For this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy, what class? As, what class? Thyself. On these two commandments hang or rest all the law and the prophets. Come back, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse number 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the, what is that phrase? Law and the prophets. So here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is teaching that the golden rule is a command that has a biblical foundation in the law. It is the fulfillment of that law. Jesus says that as you relate to God, you love God first, then you're able to love your neighbor as yourself. If you were to take the Ten Commandments, the first five, they deal with our relationship to God, and the last part deals with our relationship to man. And so Jesus here is teaching, and he is instructing, and his foundation point for us to practice the golden rule is all of the law and all of the prophets. And Jesus said the whole fulfillment of that law is to love God, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, most people think that's easy. Most people find security in the fact that they think they keep the golden rule. That might be you here right now. And you think, yeah, I'm doing a good job. I keep the golden rule. The rich young ruler is a man in the Bible that approached the Lord Jesus with the same mindset. He thought he was doing a good job keeping the golden rule. But then Jesus exposed him in that, in his ineptness there. And when the rich young ruler was exposed, instead of running to Christ, he ran away from the Lord. Most religious people think they are good. But a Christian knows he is not good. That's the difference between religious people and saved people. Pastor, aren't they the same thing? No. Hell will be full of religious people. Pastor, I never heard anything like this in my life. That's because you finally come to a church that preaches you the Bible. I thought hell was for bad people. Nope. Heaven is for bad people. Hell was for good people. Actually, hell was for the devil and his angels, but good people decided to join them. See, we got to think right here. It has to prick you that the whole world is resting and praising the golden rule. That cannot make sense to your brain, your spiritual heart, if the whole world is praising it when you know that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're praising a principle that they do not understand because that principle has been polluted beyond measure. And so churches are just jam-packed today. Our churches are filled to the core. And people are sitting on their blessed assurance, resting on the golden rule. And they think they're okay. Amen. Well, Pastor, how was it polluted? Thought you would never ask. Thank you so much. Something happened, and it happened before Jesus came to the earth, and it's happened ever since. If the law and the prophets said, love the Lord, love your neighbor, positive actions. The pollution has come when the golden rule has been changed from a positive to a negative. Now listen very carefully. Before Christ's time, there was a book written, and it was called the Book of Tobit. And there's a section in here in which the hero of the book tells his young son, and what thou hatest do to no man. What you hate, don't do to anybody. There was a book written called the Letters of, or in a story called the Letters of Aristeus. There's a Jewish scholar who instructed an Egyptian king, and this is what he said. As you wish that no evil should befall you, but to be partaker of all good things, so should you act on that same principle toward your subject and offenders. Basically, what he was saying is, so you don't, evil doesn't come upon you, treat people well. There's a Jewish scholar, his last name is Hillel, he's a rabbi. This is what he said. What is hateful to yourself, do to no other. If you were to read the writings of Confucius, of the Epicureans, of the Stoics, and of Buddhism, you will all find that as the golden rule has been communicated down throughout the ages, finds its foundation in that Old Testament, but as it's been communicated down through the ages, it has been turned and polluted. And this is basically what it says. It says, do not do anything to anyone that you would not want them to do unto you. It goes like this. Stop biting those kids in the nursery. Do you want them to bite you? Stop hitting. Do you want me to hit you? Stop calling people bad names. Do you want me to call you bad names? Now, if you've ever bit, hit, or called your kid a bad name like that, don't tell anybody, you'll go to jail. But that's kind of how the golden rule has been approached now. So when Jesus stood up in verse number 12, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Not one negative word is mentioned in verse number 12. The negative principle protects self. I am going to treat you a certain way because I don't want a repercussion on myself. Self. See, we have turned the golden rule not to honor the Savior, but to protect selves. And our whole world now lives under this thought process that they are secure in the golden rule because they haven't hurt anybody. But really and truthfully, the reason we haven't hurt anybody is because we don't want to be hurt ourselves. We don't want to go to jail. We don't want to get a ticket. We don't want to do this. We don't want to do all of that. And it's from a negative form. Inner protection of self. Do you understand that? Say amen. When Jesus flipped that thing positive, it went from a humanly possible act to a humanly impossible act. And it blew their mind. It went from being a legal discipline that a man can do. I can treat Malcolm a certain way because if I treat him the other way, I'm going to jail. So I can discipline myself based off of self-preservation to treat him a certain way. That's why you stop at a stop sign. We've trained you to stop at stop signs. We've trained you not to be bigots. We've been trained not to be prejudices. We've been trained that you don't want to be hurt. Therefore, don't hurt anybody. And then we think, well, because I haven't hurt anybody, I'm righteous. But the Bible says there's no righteousness in ourselves. And when Jesus flipped that thing from a positive action, we found out real quickly that it's impossible for us to love people over ourselves. And he became, and the reason it is because we are so, in our sinfulness, we are such a self-centered place. You know, the failure of man to live by and to keep the golden rule, as Jesus said it, is due to the fact that we're self-centered. It's due to the fact that our self-centeredness and our sinfulness has led us to self-satisfaction. I am a selfish person, therefore I want your wife. I am a selfish person, therefore I want to murder you to have what you have. I, in my self-centeredness, I demand self-satisfaction and I want it now so a man will rape a woman. Our whole culture, church, and our people, we have a lifestyle that is raging where a man drives down California and starts shooting people like they're nothing at the drive of that self-nature. And yet that same mentality comes to church and says, I live by the golden rule. I had a man murdered a woman in Miami, cut her fingers off, burned her body, killed her with a phone in a hotel room on Friday and came to church on Sunday. Not our church, a different church. Self is in the forefront the whole time. That's why Jesus said, now listen to this. Our Lord said, love our neighbor as ourselves, because he knew in our sinfulness we would love ourselves more than we would love anybody. And because we love ourselves so much, but it's in the wrong way. We constantly think about ourselves. We never transfer our thought to the other person. And if I transfer my thought to the other person, it's just so I'm not affected. Don't draw any attention to me. Don't hurt me. Don't put me in jail. Don't put the spotlight on me. Leave me alone. I'll leave you alone. Don't park on my grass. I won't park on your grass. That selfishness is the condition of man in his sinfulness. Instinctively, we are self-centered. Instinctively, our self-centeredness is exposed because we become resentful. We're resentful of something said about us, resentful of something is thought about us, and we never look at people as the same as we see ourselves. There's always this exaltation in our humanity. And the reason humanity dislikes God is because God is somebody who interferes with our self-centeredness. Get out of my life, God. Let me tell you something. If you're here today and you want God out of your life, you don't know the God of this Bible. If anything, you want him in your life. So Jesus is teaching a message here. He's instructing and he's exposing. And he says, now as you treat people, this is how you treat them. Not only does it become impossible standard to love people over ourselves without Christ, it also becomes a statement of condemnation. Now listen to the pastor. Look me in my four eyeballs. Sorry about the glare, but I'm trying. The golden rule was given by Jesus Christ to annihilate human goodness. The golden rule was given by Jesus Christ to annihilate human goodness. How you doing, sir? Doing fine. Can I ask you a question? Yes, sir. Sir, are you a Christian? Yes, sir. Sir, are you, when you die, you're going to go to heaven? Yes, sir. Sir, how do you know when you die you're going to go to heaven? Because I've kept the golden rule. I hear it over and over and over and over and over and over. You might be sitting here and you think you're going to heaven because you are keeping the golden rule. I got news for you. The Bible says that nobody can keep the whole law. James says if you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. What does it mean? If you honestly kept the golden rule, that means everybody you have ever met, you have, whether they're a Christian or not Christian, you have exalted them over yourself. You have loved them more than you love yourself. You've never thought a negative thing. You've never said a negative thing. Everything you have done has been for their benefit and not yours. You have lost everything you have given to them. They have been the drive and the consume. I'm talking about your neighbor. I'm talking about your cousin. I'm talking about your ex-wife. I'm talking about your guilty children. I'm talking about the beggar on the street. I'm telling you, everybody you've ever laid your eyes on, you've exalted over yourself. If you've done that, then you can go to heaven. Pastor, you know, that's what you do. You exaggerate everything. Nobody has ever done that. Oh, yes, they have. And his name is Jesus Christ. He has exalted everyone over himself. He left heaven's throne and he became a man and he took you in your enmity, me in my enmity, and he lifted us up above himself and he said, I lay my life down for you. Every beggar, every wicked person, every pervert, every homosexual, every heterosexual that's been in adultery, every child molester, every rapist, every criminal, Jesus Christ has exalted above himself and said, I lay my life down. The Bible said he fulfilled the law perfectly. And we have the audacity to think that just because I didn't hurt somebody, because I didn't want to go to jail, that I'm righteous. If you kept the golden rule, then you could say, move over, Jesus. Here comes Tommy Boy. But the whole world thinks they're going to heaven because they kept the golden rule. You must be born again or you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. If the world is praising it, it has to be polluted. But how can it be practiced? Thought you'd never ask. It can be practiced. Pastor, is it possible for us to look at all men and do to them whatever we would want done to us? Is it possible to exalt others? Yes. As I became a Christian, Jesus Christ, the Spirit, indwelt me, and the life of Christ now will work through me. And as I walk with the Spirit of God, and as I follow the Word of God, God enables me. He enables me to know the power of a transformed life. Can you imagine what would happen to this world if God's people followed the golden rule? As laid out in Matthew chapter 7. If we exalted others, a couple things you need to know if you're going to practice it. You need to remember the order. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Then thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You do not start with loving your neighbor. You start with loving God. The relationships in your world will never be right, whether it's between an individual or groups of people, until your relationship with God is right. You cannot love your neighbor as yourself until you love God. Now I want to read something to you, and I beg you to listen to me, and I'll be done when I'm done reading it. It's a page. Listen to what D. Martin Lloyd-Jones said about how we view others. We start with God. We turn from all the quarreling and disputes and problems that we have and we look into his face. We begin to see him in all his holiness and his almightiness and the power of his creation. And when we see him for who he is, we are humbled before him. We realize that he and he alone is worthy to be praised. We know that even in his sight, even nations are but grasshoppers like the small dust of the balance. We soon begin to realize that all the pomp and glory of man becomes as nothing when we truly see God. When we truly see him, we begin to see ourselves as sinners. We see ourselves as such vile sinners that we forget that we ever had a right. We certainly see that we have no rights at all before God. We are wretched, foul, and ugly. That is not the only teaching of the Scripture. It's amply confirmed by the experiences of all who've come to know God as Savior. It is the experience of every Christian. If you have not seen yourself as a worthless creature, I should be very doubtful whether you are a Christian at all. Wow! See, most people look and say, I'm good, I'm a Christian. But the true Christian says, I'm not good. And I need the Savior. They don't write books like this anymore. Sometimes people ask me, Pastor, where do you get things? Nothing new. I go to the old men. Fine, I'm becoming an old man. All right, here we go. No man can really come into the presence of God without saying, I am unclean. The knowledge of God humbles me to the dust. And in that position, I do not think about my rights or my dignity. I think about grace and mercy. When you come to that position, you have no need longer to protect yourself because you understand you're unworthy of everything. When I get to that position, it helps me to see others as I should see them. I see them no longer as hateful people who are trying to rob me of my right or trying to beat me in the race for money or some job or some position. I see them as I see myself, lost, blinded by the God of this world, on a road straight to hell, guilty of my sin, under the depth of the corruption of Satan, facing the wrath of God in hell bound. When I understand who God is and I understand who I was and what God did for me, I begin to see people and I have an entirely new view of people. I begin to see them to be exactly as I was in a terrible predicament and they need help. The Bible says, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. Let me tell you something, church. They're not good. They need a Savior. We do nothing. Well, both of us together must run to Christ and avail ourselves of His wonderful grace. We begin to enjoy Him. And when we begin to enjoy Him, we want to share Him. That's how it works. It is the only way whereby we can ever do unto others as we would have them do unto us. It is when we are really loving our neighbors ourselves because we have been delivered from our sin and we enjoy the righteousness of God and we understand Him that we begin to keep the golden rule. Let me tell you something, church. Forget not the pit from which you were dug. What does that mean? Nobody in this room got saved because we kept the golden rule and God's people said. We got saved because we realized we were sinners. We were not good. We realized the price that Jesus paid for us and we humbled our lives. He indwelt us and in His mercy and grace, He hath redeemed us. And Jesus said, now when you go, exalt others the way I have exalted you. Give your life for others. Love them more than you love yourself. That's the law fulfilled. But God, I can't. Yeah. I can do all things through. Can you imagine what would happen in your marriage, in your kids, in your family, in your world, in your community? Could we imagine what could happen in Broward and Dade County if Plantation Baptist Church would live by the golden rule? People would flock to us. We've never been loved like this. We've never been treated like this. We don't understand what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. His name is Jesus Christ. He transformed my life. And He'll save you the way He saved me. And by the way, He's our great God and our great Savior. Wow. A statement of praise. Polluted. Praise God, it can be practiced. And God's people said, shall we pray?